So, Arinika, you are one of the best-known females in EVE Online, I would have to say. Definitely the best-known podcaster. And I have been on your podcast several times. It is always a blast. I've listened to you do it with other guests, which makes me a little jealous, but that's okay. You know, don't need me to have a good time, I understand. So why don't you tell everybody else a little bit about yourself? What do you do in-game when you're not podcasting? What else do you do besides podcasting? Tell them who you are.
Wow, that's so flattering. I'm really flustered right now because that's like really nice, and I would dispute most of that or all of that with you.
I don't know, I'm not sure.
I mean, I do know how to have a good time on a podcast, let me tell you. But let's talk about me. It's true. Let's see. I enjoy long roams in enemy space, hot drops by Sinolite. Right now I fly with Goonswarm Federation in a member corp called AMUC. The former CEO of the corporation was Rytus, the former Sky Marshal of Goonswarm, and she was the one that recruited me in. She was one of the first female players I met in EVE, so it's always been kind of a little secret dream of mine to be in AMUC and to fly under her banner.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's always nice when those kinds of things align in game, because you hear, I mean, I, like most people, heard a lot about EVE Online, a lot about the metagame, and when you get to see these names in action, and then when you get to meet them, you get, at least I do, I get a little starstruck, because I'm an idiot like that.
And so how did you get started playing EVE?
I got started playing EVE because a friend of mine was distraught I was playing World of Warcraft. My ex-fiancé had gotten me into MMOs, and the first one I played was World of Warcraft. And I played that for about 2 years, and then after we broke up, a friend of mine was like, okay, you need to stop playing this game, and he introduced me to EVE, and I looked at it, read some reviews, and told him he was fucking nuts. I was not going to play this game, there are psychopaths and evil people in this game, and this is not something I want to do. So we ended up playing City of Heroes, City of Villains. I ended up getting bored with that, and he was like, no, really, you need to give EVE a try. So I tried EVE. And I quit on my third day.
Really?
Would you now consider yourself a psychopath?
I can't, yes.
One of us.
It is. It's like, I look back, I've been playing for, what, almost two years now? And I look back and I'm like, wow, I have really descended into the depths of darkness in this game. Like, I'm really a terrible person when I play Internet Spaceships.
That's really impressive, too, because you haven't been playing for all that long, so to take the descent into madness that quickly, I mean, that would tear most people apart, but you seem to be handling it very gracefully.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Ari, she can take it. She doesn't split apart easily.
Ka-ching! Well, I am in Goonswarm. Oh, I see what you did. Naughty boy.
For any listeners not familiar with Danny's podcast, it is definitely rated R.
It is. Well, okay, I'll let people just in on my like personality and kind of why I have this sense of humor I have. Way back in another life, I used to be a show host for Walt Disney World. And when I first went up to give my first spiel, first time I'm doing this, I start talking in my normal voice, which is what you hear now. And I talk, and they stop me, and they're like, okay, sweetie, you're doing great. You have great alliteration, and we hear you. However, you are at a triple X, and we need you at a PG-13 at minimum. And, yeah, from then on, I was like, oh, I'm just a walking dirty joke.
So yeah. When did you start taking your debauchery into the realm of podcasting? Like, what got you started? What was early Voices from the Void like?
That was actually due to Lost and Eve. And Gevlin, who is a great guy and who does a lot of his own content, was trying to help Space Monkeys Alliance, who I was a diplo for at the time, get better exposure as an alliance. And so he started advertising with Lost and Eve. Well, Lost and Eve was looking for a new host, specifically a female host. And so Gevlin helped me out, and he got me introduced to like Audacity and recording and editing and all of that. And I submitted my trials. I did a test run. It was during CSM, and I ended up getting the position. Unfortunately, Jay shortly thereafter decided that he was going to shut the podcast down, and he had incidentally picked up Helen Turek as a fourth host. And so Helen had asked me, he's like, hey, we could do this, right? And I was like, I guess, why not? He was like, okay, so next week we'll record. And I was like, okay, I guess, whatever. And then Voices from the Void was born.
Sounds like such an enthusiastic beginning. Yeah, okay. I guess.
Like, it, you know, it really was. Well, I mean, you know Howland's personality. He's not really one to jump up and down for much. And so it was just this very casual, hey, let's do a thing. Okay. And it blossomed. If only he was here to see it now.
And why did he leave the podcast? What broke you two up?
I honestly am not sure. I had spoken to him after a recording, and he was supposed to edit. And he said he would have it to me, you know, that Sunday night. And I never heard from him again. I tried to email him. We had played another game together. I've sent him messages over there and haven't heard anything. So, I mean, I really don't know.
If anyone has any information on the whereabouts of Helen Turek, please get in touch.
Well, you know, like I was saying, we spoke. I mean, I would like to think we were pretty good friends. So I did know that he was going through some family stuff, but I really never knew the severity of that, and it's really, you know, you really don't want to put someone else's business out there like that.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
So, I mean, all I can really say is I don't know, but I do miss him.
Helen was in Noir for a while. I miss him as well. He was a director for us, actually, for quite some time.
Yeah, and he always spoke fondly of Noir and his time in Noir.
You're this big podcast star now. What is your day-to-day life like in the Goon Swarm?
Well, let's see. A couple weeks ago, I got all the scimitars in a Drake Fleet guild. So that was awesome. I was the Lodgy Anchor, and my system locked up. And it desynced, and so it looked as if I was going upwards, but I was not going upwards.
Oh dear.
And it got to a point where the FCO of the fleet just screamed, fuck her, fuck your anchor. And I was like, oh, I'm a failure as a person. And then all the scimitars died. Since then, a lot of hot dropping, and then of course War and Delve. I'm a better hot dropper than anything else. I'm good at sometimes scimitars, but I have a lot of success with hot dropping. I got a couple of Black Legion carriers the other day. I got a couple of kill mills on those. So
when you say hot dropping, give our listeners an idea of what you're talking about. Are you like the guy that pops the Sino? Are you commanding a fleet that comes through? Or are you talking capital ships, Black Ops?
Oh, this is all Black Ops. This is just regular Black Ops. I am a Nemesis pilot. I will soon be I believe, Panther pilot. That's the Mimitar one, right?
Yeah.
I will soon be a Panther pilot in 8 days because I will have the Covert Ops Sino. That's what I'm waiting on. So I will soon be doing that, and I am also a Rapier pilot. So I could be doing bait. I could just be in a bomber doing the dropping and being a lazy bum.
So in terms of day-to-day PvP and their expectations of you, there really seems to be nothing different. You're just kind of treated as one of the grunts.
No, yes, oh, definitely. I am a grunt. I'm a front-of-the-line grunt. I fly my scimitar. I'll fly whatever the fleet calls for, and no special treatment. But then again, Goonswarm is a different type of alliance where they want you to participate, but they're not going to force you into anything. And that kind of makes you want to participate more because it's of your own free will and you're doing things that interest you. And there's so many different SIGs. Like, there's different groups that do different things. Like, you can go join a group that does high sec stuff. You can high sec PvP. You can join a group that does explicitly does hot drops. You can join a group that scams, you know. So it's really fun.
It is very impressive that Goons are managed to have that level of division in their alliance and that it all sort of works and flows together like that. It's not a very widely discussed aspect of Goons, but their organizational and logistical capabilities are just incredible.
They run a very tight ship, and that's just one of the perks of being in Goons, because most of being in Goonswarm, I should say, because most things that I want, I can get at the blink of an eye, and most anything I want to do, I can.
Must be nice.
They can call that baller status.
And it's cool to hear it from the perspective of a lion grunt, because usually we don't get to hear that that point of view too often. Usually when Goonswarm talks or people talk about Goonswarm, it's always people like the Mitanni or DBRB or, you know, maybe Pandemic Legion is talking about them. We don't really get to hear from just the average goon pilot that's going out there, and one that can form complete sentences in English. I mean, it's rare.
Typically, when a goon pilot is talking to us, it's some sort of fuck you or, you know, that kind of thing.
We'll see. If I say that, it might be taken into a different context.
Agreed.
Yeah, with a voice like that, you'll go places.
I think she's underutilized, not being an FC. Gotta say.
No, actually, sad story. I did try to FC once. I posted a fleet, and it was going to be a little Thrasher fleet. And I even, you know, said, "Hey, I have 15 Thrashers. You know, first 15, I'll give away free." And no one showed up.
Damn.
Yeah. I don't get it.
I was like, "Aww."
Well, we were talking.
I could hear you call primaries all day, man.
Yeah, her voice keeps you at attention, doesn't it? But we were talking about this the other day with EVE players being risk-adverse, you know. I could see that even with Thrash or something that thin, people might not want to hop in with a fresh FC.
Although Goons, I have to say Goons are notoriously one of the least risk-averse alliances in the game.
Yeah.
Mostly because you can get anything for free, and they have this EVE is stupid, it's a game, don't give a fuck attitude.
It's only pixels, man. It's only pixels.
If just more people actually understood that.
Well, it's a hard concept to learn. I mean, I had problems with it when I first started. You know, I didn't want to fly big stuff. Like, I stayed in a Rifter for a very long time, and I stayed in a Stabber for a very long time, and my alliance and those I flew with had to fight with me to get into a Hurricane just because I didn't want to lose that amount of money. So, I mean, you there is something to overcome there. But once you free yourself from the shackles of ISK, it gets so much better.
Well, with all the things you can do in EVE, why PvP?
Because it's the only thing not boring. I hate to say that, but I mean, when I first started EVE, I ran behind level 4 mission runners, and so I did level 4 missions, and I would scoop the loot, and I would salvage, and I'd go sell it, so I knew all about the market, I knew about missions, and I knew the difference between damsel and how to farm it, and all this other stuff, and then we got hit with a war deck, and this one guy took down 8 of us.
Wow.
We did kill him, but he took down like our whole person, our whole little group, our whole little fleet. And I was like, wow, that was amazing. That was awesome. I want to do more of that. And so then We ended up joining an alliance. In fact, it was Lucky Starbase Syndicate.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That would be our old Renner Alliance from the Providence days.
Mm-hmm. We were in there for a month, and you guys are the reason I ended up a Space Monkey, because that's the alliance we joined afterwards, and that's who we ended up going PvP with, because I remember that whole month, I kept asking them, can we go out there? Can I go out to Nullsec yet? Can I go out to Nullsec yet? And they're like, no, we don't know if we're going to stay with this alliance or not. And so you made me have to wait. It's your fault.
Hey.
I wasn't even watching at that time.
See that butterfly effect? 2 years ago.
I don't know anything about that, because LSS was, it was owned by NAR. It was NAR property at the time. So there was no, like, discussion about whether or not we were going to keep it. Like, it was totally just running fine. Pretty much right up until we lost that space to CVA.
See, who knows? I might have ended up in Noir.
We didn't lose it. We gave it away, didn't we?
Well, yeah.
I'm pretty sure you could still end up in Noir if you wanted to, honey.
Honey. Yeah, I don't think recruitment offers are the way to get into her pants. She gets free stuff all the time.
Where are you hearing this from? because there is this misconception that I apparently have billions of ISK and just trillions of assets. Who was it? Shay Lee, who is an Amar Faction Warfare pilot, I guess was playing Truth or Dare on Twitter one day, and she asked me if I had 10 truthfully if I had 10 billion ISK, and I'm like, what? Why would you ask that question? Because I'm like, no, why? And at the time I had barely a bill in my wallet, so where's this conception?
I thought that what am I doing that wrong? Joined the Clusterfuck Coalition got a free tech moon. That was like part of the thing of why you signed up, but not true.
I think you just get one commemoratively named after you.
No, those go to... You have to be a little bit higher up on the echelon. I'm only a grunt. I just get a little dividend kickback every month or so.
Oh, very cool.
Kind of like Alaska.
Nice.
Speaking of which, the OTEC commercials have been playing in the Alliance tournament. Fucking hilarious.
Is it that I didn't know that commercial was going to be in there, but when I saw it, I could barely contain myself.
Goons have like the absolute best propaganda team in history. It's just amazing.
They do, but you know what? They pay well for that propaganda a lot of the times. Because I've participated in a couple of propaganda contests, and I've made out like a bandit.
Nice. I mean,
they will pay you well for good propaganda. You know, that's a good thing.
Now, does the propaganda team have any interaction with your podcast, or do they let you do that completely separate?
Oh, no, the podcast is totally, totally separate from Goonswarm.
So you're not an NWO shill for the Mathonic, gotcha.
No, I am not Fox. That is what you're asking. I'm not the EVE Online podcast to Fox. No, I'm completely independent. They don't pressure me. They don't give me any information. There's no special treatment or no undue treatment with that. Which is actually pretty good. I was slightly worried about it, but then I was like, no, that's silly. No one cares.
Is there a large good listenership to your podcast?
More than I thought, surprisingly. There are a lot more goons that listen than I originally thought there were. But I don't know if they were already listening or if it's because I joined the Alliance.
You haven't noticed the spike since? Or you don't have the ability to track that sort of thing?
No, I have the ability to track it. It's been kind of calm, but when I joined Goonswarm, I also kind of took a step back from the podcast, so I stopped doing it every week, and it turned into bi-weekly.
Aha. Uh-huh. And getting that regular schedule going, we found it to be pretty damn important. We recently got a little shot of metrics. I thought we were getting like 250 listens an episode. Turns out it's more like 5,000 to 6,000.
That's great! Congratulations!
Yeah. Woo!
Damn. Well,
but like a big change recently was going into, we have to do it bi-weekly because we just don't have the ability to get it edited because Alex, who does that for us, also edits another podcast that we run. And between the two of them, and that's No Guts, No Galaxy for anyone that's into Battletech or MechWarrior Online that's coming out. And between those two podcasts, it's way too much work for one person to do both weekly. So we sort of split it up a little bit. But ever since we made that change, I think that the listenership has jumped tremendously because people see it as an active podcast. They know when to tune in and that sort of thing.
Exactly. And whenever people find out that I podcast, and I found this, like, whenever I meet people that play Eve in real life, whenever I go to the meets and things like that, they'll tell me, oh, you know what podcast I really like? I really like that Noir podcast. Or I like that Kill 2 podcast. Those two podcasts are the podcast that everyone loves to tell me they like to listen to.
Well, that's cool to hear.
It's a nice pedestal to be put up on there with Kill 2.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, and I mean, I listen to you guys too. I enjoy the podcast. I mean, you know, so it's well deserved, you know?
No, I try. I'm always trying to like tweak it, experiment a little bit with things like format and stuff. I listen to a lot of podcasts just in my personal life, both Eve. Actually, I don't listen to that many of the Eve podcasts. But I listen to, like, different genre podcasts. Like, I listen to a comedy podcast and literary podcast, things like that. Oh, you're into Keith and the Girl now?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. And you live closer to New York City than I do, right? Have you been going to any, like, Keith and the Girl events?
No, I'm all the way down in Texas now.
Oh, that's right. Why did I think you lived in upstate New York?
Because I used to live in New Jersey.
Close enough.
I guess.
I just made every listener that lives in New York really mad at me right now.
So the,
New York,
like
New Jersey, it's all the same.
I know a few Jersey boys who would argue that. Oh my god.
The fact that you know a few Jersey boys scares me, but what is your favorite ship, Danny?
Well, clearly, I'm a female that plays a video game, so it's the Scimitar. I mean, what kind of question is that?
Is that just a female's liking logistics role kind of thing, or
the fin up top is like a phallic thing? Actually,
you know, because you have to do more than just press F1. Yeah, you have to do a little bit more than press F1. You have to pay attention. It's a little bit more involved, unless you're just like babysitting a posse or something like that. But it's a little bit more challenging, so I like it a little bit better.
I too love my Scimitar. It's awesome.
Yep, and it actually looks pretty damn decent.
I was, when the new Mimitar V3 shaders came along, I was a little shocked with the all-black Scimitar, and they did the same to the broadsword and a couple other things. It's very stark, but it's starting to grow on me a little bit.
I don't like it. I think there should be more blue in there, like silvery blue.
Let's get to the heart of the matter. Are you Frillin?
I am Frillin.
That's brilliant. Do you think they will restore the frill to the Vagabond, or is CCP going to dig their heels in like the other things?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. I'm not sure how well the event went yesterday. They had the Thuck You, Frill Me event. And hopefully they had good participation. It was during Alliance Tournament, so attention, you know, it probably wasn't planned at the best time to get the maximum amount of attention. So, but generally, if the players speak up and if they're reasonable, CCP is willing to listen. So I do hope they change their mind, though.
What they should have done was have the Goon propaganda team make a commercial for the frill.
Actually, you want to know something funny? I wrote a parody song, and I was going to do a video of, like, different scenes. but I ended up getting sick. And so I haven't been able to record it.
Bummer. Alright. The worst thing about Mark Scaris.
He's moved on to bigger and better things. He's trying to do a general gaming podcast now, so that's the worst thing about him. And I keep forgetting his name. He needs to pick an easier name.
DBRB or Mr. V?
No. Is that an option? I know it wasn't listed.
What is it like flying in fleet with the big red boat?
You know, his fleets are always entertaining and very informative, whether you want them to be or not. Boat always has a story. He always has some article he's seen on Huffington Post. Just, you will never be in a boring, quiet boat fleet. Unless there is, like, active intel chatter. That's what it's like being in a boat fleet.
And have you ever been in Mr. V's bombing wing? Or whatever his name is.
You know, I was in the bomber wing for a short time. But I was too intimidated to actually go out on any ops because they didn't hold any trainings. And I didn't want him to yell at me.
Aww.
Mr. V is scary when he's upset. Very scary man.
This has been Declarations of War, the interview portion of Episode 30, our interview with Ari Danica of Voices from the Void. Unfortunately, the rest of this episode was corrupted and lost, but you can find other episodes and all future news at declarationsofwar.com.